Today is a day of celebration. It may not feel that way. Our world is heavy in this time. This week has brought new disappointments, violence, injustice, despair. As the Chinese curse would have it, these are interesting times in which we live. But we celebrate all the same. It's the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, and the celebration that we have not been left alone. In my experience, though, Pentecost gets a bit more of the Groundhog Day sort of treatment. It's one of those things that, yeah, it happens, but nobody particularly cares. Although it's Groundhog Day, you actually do need to hear from the rodent questioned to see what wisdom they have to impart. In the church here, this is the completion of the cycle from Advent to Christmas to celebrating Christ's birth and then on into the darkness of Lent and preparation and Holy Week and then Easter and the whiteness of the season. Now, 7 weeks later, we mark Pentecost throughout the whole thing together as we move into the far less subtly branded ordinary time. Most of the time, it is one of these church holidays where, if you're really observant, you might notice some different colors around or things like that, and then someone immediately comes out and says, hey, guess what day it is? And explains it, and which is good for about 24 hours worth of memory on a good day. We don't have the trappings that we usually do with a holiday. We don't have the shopping season. We don't have yet to find a commercially viable way to exploit wind and fire in our midst. And even this year, the usual hymns are somehow off key. Breathe on me, breath of God, has to be kept at a safe distance. And I'm guessing that if God would take us at our word and would indeed come with power and break into our ailing hearts, we wouldn't know what to do. It's a call 911. We are doers of the word, we end about this. And we don't always know what to do with this fuzzier notion of the Spirit, especially when our sense of the world is more than a couple of degrees off level. We spoke of the Spirit a couple of weeks ago, if you happen to recall. You'll have to color me optimistic. But I think that perhaps one of the three persons of the Trinity can bear the scrutiny of more than one given Sunday in the course of a year. The other week, we sat with how we might recognize the work of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit. Today, I want to sit with what the work of the Spirit might be in times like this. We celebrate Pentecost primarily as a historic event where the disciples were given their full commission to go forth and live the life of the kingdom which they had been charged. They got the Spirit so they could go do the stuff that we read about in the rest of Acts and the epistles and all the rest. And now the Spirit, while still present, has entered a whole different line of work, it seems, where we are inspired to individualize our personal piety and seldom are public appearances made. Call it a seasoned propriety on the part of the Spirit. That's on one hand. On the other hand, we have those who would simply say, how can you do church without the tongues, without the healings, without all the rest? That's what makes Christian Christian. And that's all there is to it. And we're often torn between these extremes and not quite knowing where to go. And perhaps Pentecost is here to remind us of the ongoing work of God that we are all part of. The work of the Spirit that brings God's way into being all the time. Especially when we need it the most. I'm guessing that it will not come as a shock to any of you that I'm a Star Trek fan. I know, it's ridiculous, right? And a little bit predictable. I'm not quite to the pointy ears, costumes, and conventions level of fandom, but I know my Star Trek lore and fairly confident that I've seen pretty much every episode that there is and every movie that has been made through the years, even the odd-numbered movies that are inextricably bad for whatever reason. The show asks big questions of what might our lives be like. And it gives an optimistic view of where we might go in the whole universe and how we might be led. And that's cool to me. One of the things in Star Trek that I like is this ubiquitous device that is always there called the Universal Translator. And it just sort of magically evens out the whole notion of language and otherwise. It just sort of makes it all go away. So you don't have to deal with that in the plot. Sure, every so often you get a story where the whole thing goes kaflooey and you have technical difficulties and you have to figure out how to talk to one another. But that's just for plot. By and large, the future is one of language where we'd have you believe that Babel never happened. That's how we assume this gathering of foreigners came to be in this happening of Pentecost. As the listing of country indicates, people from all over the ends of the earth were there. And we often think that Pentecost is our holiday. It's something that we came up ourselves and it's there. But as is so often the case, it's really a feast of the Jewish temple. And not first and foremost a moment of our history. Pentecost is a celebration of the five books of the Torah, the Pentateuch, where all Jews from all over the world were encouraged to come to the temple. It was one of the big three celebrations when it came to Jewish festivals. And that's the context that the Spirit comes into. And we have this image where we think it's kind of like the United Nations, where everybody has their little earpiece to hear what's going on in translation. And you have this one-to-one relationship between apostles speaking and people understanding. But when you look closely, that's not quite how it is. It's not just that people get to speak in new languages, but everyone gets to understand as they knew. Notice here that the recorded list of countries and languages represented far outstrips the 11 disciples who were speaking. The work of the Spirit was to empower the disciples to speak as they needed to speak, yes. But it didn't stop there. It also enabled people to understand as they needed to understand. And here's the connection between Genesis and Acts. Because here's where you have the Tower of Babel being turned on its head so that all people can understand the language of God with us. The work of the Spirit is not simply to enable people to speak in new ways, but also to enable that Spirit to do the work of God where it needs to be done, without the inconveniences of translation. That's something I can get my head around. That's something I can celebrate, because it's something bigger than simply, can I speak in the right language? And it makes sense, because it is God with us, Emmanuel, kicking it up a notch and coming to be with people in a new and important way. It sounds a whole lot like the God we know and love, the God that who has been reaching out this whole time. Pentecost is the start of God continuing on with what started in Jesus, making God known in real and meaningful ways to people where they are, as they are, how they are. Excuse me. That is the work of God. That is the work of Jesus. That is the work of the Spirit. And that's pretty amazing. And that work continues even today, because we know that God comes to us and messes with our lives, sometimes in ways that we don't understand, sometimes in ways that we wish didn't happen, sometimes in ways that we don't even notice. But God's Spirit comes and changes us and moves us and convicts us, even when we don't expect it. We often know that the primary gift of Pentecost is the gift of speech, is the gift of articulation in a new language. But the Church of Pentecost is not just given voices to speak, but also ears to hear. Language is not completely embraced, giving the new people both the way to hear and translate. Because communication is more than just speaking, of forming words and thoughts into ideas. But it's also a matter of listening to those thoughts and ideas and having them be understood. And that is the thing of the Spirit. I will really say, as much as I appreciate and inspired by and work at the art of preaching, I know that only about, let's say, one-third of you will ever quite grasp what I say, how I say it, to the end that I say it. Not because you're falling asleep, and not because I happen to fail along the way, but simply because I've listened to sermons too, and I know about how much I remember. And it's a work of the Spirit when communication actually happens, when it works, when it comes together. And we need to be able to trust the Spirit along the way, both in speech and in listening. Because listening is often what breaks down the most. Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann, in writing about the Tower of Babel story, writes here, "The capacity to listen in ways which transform depends upon the trust of the speaker, the readiness to be impacted, and the willingness to have newness come into one's life. Failed speech is linked to the disappearance of that trust. Not listening is related to a death in a relationship. A failure to listen means to declare the other party null and void. A society which suffers failed speech, as in our text, cannot only build towers, it cannot believe promises. It cannot trust God. It cannot be truly human." I don't know about you, but that rings awfully true, both in Babel and in Acts and today. But here's where Pentecost comes in. It celebrates God's shifting gears and continuing what God does best, reaching out to us, inviting us in, and speaking in every tongue imaginable to invite us in to the way of God. That's what today is. That's what the celebration is going on. And it's absolutely something to celebrate each and every day, but especially today. Because I think this is precisely the work of the Spirit that we need right now. We need to be reminded that the Spirit bridges the gaps between us. We know that we have so many towers of Babel to be torn down and reversed. The towers of mistrust, of politics and policy and location and pride and place and role. And race between those who are targeted by the systems of oppression and we who wear our privilege without awareness or even comprehension. We know that our listening and our speaking is broken. This list is only this week's headlines. It's far from comprehensive. And sometimes all that we can do is simply cry, "Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison." The impossibility of healing what ails us weighs heavily on us, and we can be left despairing of change, hope, healing, or any difference. But perhaps that's the best news of all today. That the work is not ours alone. It's also the work of the Spirit. It's also the work of the connection. It's also the work of God to bring about healing in the world. The Spirit prods us to listen better, to speak less clearly, and to know more deeply. We can easily articulate the wrongness of our world, even if our own individual lists might have items in difference. And the Spirit intercedes for us where our mere words and deeds and actions fail to even touch the issue at hand. A sentiment that I know that I have felt most keenly in trying to think about the incomprehensible yet again. Now, to be clear, we do need to act. We do need to respond. We are responsible. But we are not only responsible. We share the gift of making the world better because it's the work of the Spirit. It starts in the Spirit, is rooted in the Spirit, and it will become achieved by the Spirit. Anything else is beyond us. And as Paul writes in Romans, even when we don't know what to say, the groaning of the Spirit fills in the blanks and prays for us. That's what we celebrate today. That's what we're here about. That's what we're talking about. Thanks be to God. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your life, your language, your hope, and your promise. Enkindle in us again the ability to hear the good word and to be doers of that word, now and always. And allow us to listen even when we do not understand. Amen.